Hello and a very warm welcome to today's podcast. I'm Anna Richards from City Parents, and I'm delighted today to be joined by Robin Carville-Spedding. Robin is Vice President of Legal and Compliance at New Age Limited, an oil and gas company, and he's the father of two children. Of course, we know that the pandemic offered families lots more time at home together, which presented huge challenges for many of us juggling homeschool, childcare, many cases two full-time jobs. However, as schools and childcare resumed, lots of parents reported improvements to work-life balance and family time, which perhaps they might like to continue as the world resumes to some sort of normal. We're interested at City Parents to find out if dads in particular are wanting to continue with more flexible working arrangements, whether formal or informal. And Robin, who's been an advocate of flexible working for many years, is kind enough to chat to me about this today. Robin, thank you so much for joining me. Let's start by telling us a little bit about you. I know you've been wanting to find a balance between work and family life for some time. Is that right?
Sure. Hi, yeah, Anna. Good morning. Thanks for having me. Absolutely. It actually kind of, for me, started almost before my family arrived, even several years before that. And I was in a city law firm until about 2013. I couldn't at that time quite see forward to how I would, you know, continue to be a senior lawyer, potentially partner there, if that was ever a possibility, with the young family that I wanted. I didn't even have a family at that time. And so there were many other reasons as well for leaving, but I went in-house in 2013. I happened to actually go to Denmark for 2 years there. So me and my now wife, Rachel, saw almost the sort of Scandinavian dream, if you like, when it came to everything from that phrase that covers a multitude of sins, work-life balance, through to particularly the role of fathers and the paternity rights that they have. Although interestingly enough, I think us over here can rather get caught up in the Scandinavian dream, everything from sort of Scandi noir dramas through to, you know, hygge, and it is wonderful, except that I think it's interesting, particularly in certain corporates, not everybody over there on the paternity side of things, that they doesn't exercise their full rights. So anyway, I'm sort of digressing, but that all led to then being in an in-house contract role back here. My wife luckily fallen pregnant, and I saw line of sight to not having any paternity rights, partly because I was a contractor in my then role, partly because she was self-employed, so shared parental leave didn't come into play for either of us. I was looking for a full-time role, but also manically busy at work. And I just thought, well, how am I going to actually get any time with the little one, the family, when my daughter arrived? So I actually left that role completely in order to spend time with the family when Clementine arrived in 2016, and with no job to go to, which was perhaps a bit foolhardy. Luckily, a full-time role did actually sort of present itself in January, so relatively quickly, a couple of months. Subsequently, at least I knew I had that sort of financial security, if you like, which was helpful. And that, but I ended up having 4 or 5 months of time off, effectively as paternity leave with my daughter, which was wonderful. And I wouldn't have done it any other way, despite the odd financial stresses and strains that sort of came with it. But that has fed into a lot of my thoughts, beliefs around paternity rights in particular, and how important I think it is, not just for the men and as in their role as fathers and as individuals, but also actually to help the whole gender equation and gender equality at work. So I think unless you get men buying into and taking things like paternity leave, and then many other things on the side as well, then I think we're going to struggle to equalize things in the workplace for men and women, because otherwise I think women will still be seen as the sole or the primary, you know, child carers and so on. Fast forward a few years, and we've been lucky enough to have a lockdown baby. He arrived last summer. And that was quite a contrast, because I was actually in the same secure full-time job that I took immediately after my daughter arrived, but there wasn't a wonderful paternity leave policy ever at all. So I took 2 weeks statutory plus 2 weeks holiday on top of that. So I had a month off, but it was quite a contrast in a way to the sort of 4 or 5 months I'd been lucky to have with my firstborn. So yeah, that's me, an in-house lawyer in a challenging oil and gas company, which is particularly challenging place to work in the current environment, and with two small children. And I think we've just about come out the other end of whatever lockdowns there were in one piece, just so hopefully that gives you some sense of my background to all of this and where a lot of my thoughts and beliefs have come from.
Thank you, that's great to hear a bit about you and that journey you went on that began before you became a father. And if you think back to pre-pandemic, I know there's obviously there was a bit of a tension for you there between work and life and the pressures. What's your reflections of city corporate cultures and work-life balance back then? Did you see any flexible working as being quite a women's right, a women's issue? I mean, not legally, obviously, but just in reality, did it feel, do you think, back then quite difficult for dads to be a bit more flexible and find a bit more family time in their working week?
I think on the whole, yes. I think as ever with these things, it can be really varied, right, in terms of sectors and or even, you know, different companies. What was interesting for me going from a city law firm to then jumping in-house was actually a realization that I think, you know, particularly law firms, I'm sure I think many other professional services firms in the city, I think have made far greater strides in that area, even pre-pandemic, than I perhaps would have given them credit for back in 2013 when I left. Having said that, then on you go into the in-house side as a lawyer, and indeed I think in other areas where it's not quite as easy when it comes to things like flexible working as you thought it might be. Yes, you're away from the potential hours culture that I think there was and still is in the city, and presenteeism and FaceTime and so on. But it doesn't necessarily mean that working in industry and in companies and so on is necessarily at times is much better. And I think, yes, on the whole, my personal experience was that it wasn't talked about much or enough in relation to men and their ability to work flexibly. I think there probably wasn't even that many conversations about it, hence I'm sort of struggling to think of in ones that I had, and where it probably was almost subconsciously or silently, if you like, thought of or seen as a female issue when one thought for working mothers. And again, absolutely rightly so, but I think that did then leave fathers behind in the conversation. I'm sure there are many who probably like me wanted to have that sort of conversation and be involved in it and work flexibly, but perhaps didn't feel able to. I think the other thing I should say, maybe just at the outset, Anna, is also that whilst we're obviously focusing on me as a parent, and we're talking about this for parents and people with young or growing families, I often see this as a wider issue as well. So it is absolutely an issue for us as parents, but I think it's an issue for many others, whether you have children or not, whether you have caring responsibilities at the other end of the spectrum, perhaps for elder parents or relatives, or indeed whether you just have interests outside of work, right? I think it can be a much wider issue than just for parents. Although if we as parents can help make a bit of a charge and lead on this as well, I think that'll hopefully help for others as well, even if they're not in the parent space, if you like.
Yeah, you're so right to make that point. And I think particularly people with other caring responsibilities, we hear a lot about members who are parents, but also looking after elderly relatives. Mm. And you're absolutely right, or perhaps just interest outside of work and want to enjoy some flexibility in order to focus on those. And of course, in the same breath, when we think about the real depths of the pandemic, when we were in lockdown and when children were at home, you know, there was a big spotlight on working parents. And I think that had some benefits. But of course, there were people struggling in many other different ways, endless ways through that time. Thinking about your experience of those restrictions and those lockdowns, how did you manage as a family between your work and your family life? I'm sure there were lots of challenges. Have there been any benefits, any more family time that you were able to enjoy that you have or might be hoping to take
forward? I'm glad you took it back to the positive there, Anna. I was going to say, I don't think we did manage. I think we just sort of struggled through, right? Yeah, survival, it's a good word. And of course, we're very lucky and privileged in what we have in terms of a very small London garden, you know, postage stamp size space that we have, but at least it's outdoors. And when we came through it unscathed in the health sense. But you're right to look at the positives, because of course there were many. We were, I suppose, in that situation, if you like, of having a little boy as well. So my wife was pregnant when lockdown hit, and we had our daughter was three. Gosh, amazing what the pandemic has done to our sense of time, right? She was three and a half when it first kicked in. So already going through quite a lot of changes, and then what with her brother arriving and then nursery closing and so on. So, but look, I think that's, you know, the problem. Part of the problem is struggling to sort of recall those positives. I mean, and even actually one immediate thought in response to that is when Oscar arrived, whilst I only had 4 weeks officially as paternity leave, of course I've actually been around now pretty much daily, far, far more than I would have done previously. I'm lucky enough not to have a horrendous commute, and so I would have always seen him in the morning and the evenings anyway. But actually looking back, I have probably, you know, give or take, seen him every single day of his life so far, which is wonderful. And having that time with him, you know, during the working day as well, whether it's because we're still having to juggle calls between myself, my wife and I, quite frankly nipping out, getting a coffee and seeing him for 5-10 minutes and a bit of a cuddle, you know, it's been great. And I just wouldn't have had that time with him, obviously, if I'd been stuck in an office. So that's one of the clear positives in our situation. And many times with my daughter as well, although that was because of her age and stage and because of just how manic we were, like many others, when it, particularly the first lockdown hit and with nursery being shut. I think I look back and the challenges unfortunately tend to come to the fore more than anything else, but we got through it and hope and believe without lasting impact on her. And we were able to at least talk to her about it, and nursery were very good at trying to explain what coronavirus was or is, you know, to the extent you can do that with a three-year-old. But you're right, we've got to hold on to those positives, and there were some, and there continue to be some, so I should stop being so negative.
No, not at all. It's very natural. It's a very, very difficult time. And yeah, that conversation with young children is really difficult, isn't it? My son's, well, he's just turned 5, and I remember the first lockdown, I mean, he thought he was just on holiday. He loved it. And it was at a certain point we thought we might be able to just get away with it being a holiday. And then by the time a few months passed, and then he started to understand a bit more about it.
Yeah, yeah. He couldn't just get his bucket and spade out every day.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Sound to play with.
And what about life now, Robin? Are you starting to spend a bit more time in the office again? What's the routine? And I suppose a wider part to that question, are you hearing from peers and clients and colleagues about what they're doing in terms of their work patterns? Is there a bit of time at home, a bit of time in the office? Is there any flexibility in terms of work hours that you're seeing?
It's difficult to know, to be honest. Actually, I was at my first sort of face-to-face legal conference yesterday. And so this was being discussed almost no matter what the proposed topic of a roundtable was, it always went back to this sort of thing, because it's just what we're all living through at the moment, right? So I think then that was interesting, because it showed that, again, I think everyone's doing something a little bit different. And at the moment, I think we almost need to have this conversation again in almost a year's time, or 2 years' time, dare I say, because I think there's so much still to work through the system. The other thing I take away from this is that everybody's experience has been unique. It's a bit of a statement of the obvious, but you know, well, even for parents, you know, our daughter's 5, like your son, and yet we would have had probably very unique, different experiences of the pandemic based on our personal circumstances, our work, our family life, et cetera, et cetera. So, and I think the problem with going back is that it's very difficult to, including for companies, to be fair to the employers as well, I think are really trying, and it's difficult for them to put in place policies or frameworks that really work for everybody. Having said all that, I think it's not going to get back to what it was. I don't think anybody is. I'm not seeing any conversations or ideas that it will go back to, you know, 5 days a week in the office. Again, that's a generalization. There are obviously some companies, I won't name American banks beginning with G, that I think are mandating or trying to mandate, you know, 5 days a week in the office. But that was certainly a theme yesterday. That's almost certainly not going to happen with the vast majority. What that then means, who knows? I mean, certainly we are trying to rotate a system. So I am going in a few days a week. I must admit, and I really hesitate to say this to a certain extent, but it's been a quite nice change of scene. So I'm not actually skipping into the office every day or when I'm going in, but it's nice. There's been a bit of these same four walls over the last 18 months. And I'm sure a lot of that maybe resonates with a lot of people. So I think it's been refreshing for me to have a break from working in the same place for 18 months, sort of 2 years nonstop. But I think the other interesting thing for us as a company is that again, we're starting to have conversations about then where we go with this. And I don't think we've quite worked out what we're trying to do with the return to the office. I nearly said return to work, which I hate, so I stopped myself. Return to the office. I think there's still a little bit of risk mitigation going on. I'm saying that as a lawyer. Obviously, there's still, unfortunately, the virus out there. We know the cases are there. There's all sorts of whispers about what, you know, plan B and what may or may not happen. So there's still a little element of that and protecting your employees. There's an element, I think, of trying to help people step back into that office environment and do so in a staggered way. And there's an element of trying to help connectivity, collaboration, all those good words as well. But I think it's a bit of a mishmash at the moment. And when we haven't, our policy at least hasn't quite landed on what we're trying to do with it. Now, there's an acknowledgement within the company of that. And there's debate about, do we almost make it completely flexible? Or do we actually go the other end of the spectrum and start mandating either absolute days of the week, as in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for everybody and so on? Yeah. So yeah, I think there's still a lot to work through. And I've always viewed flexibility as being just that, dare I say it, it's not necessarily what an employer wants to hear, but as flexible as possible for both parties, to be fair. And as long as there's trust on both sides, I've always done it in that sense. Well, I will work when I need to work, whether it's at 9 o'clock at night, there's the flexibility to do that. Well, there's an interesting article I saw the other day in the FT about how flexible working can be the most inflexible form of working. I think particularly maybe for managers, if you've got team members who are requesting different forms of flexibility across the piece, and then how do you then actually make sure that, you know, the team are able to do the work and so on. So another one of the many challenges we've got to face and come through. But I think, look, the good news is the conversations are there. I think men are more involved in them and wanting to benefit from them, which is only going to be positive. So we shall see. But I said, maybe we should chat again in a year or so's time, and it will help you, you know, perhaps we'll be back in the office 5 days a week. Who knows? I hope not. I don't think we will.
Absolutely. So. No, that's so interesting to hear. And I think that's the key point, isn't it? Is that the conversations are happening. You talked earlier about the pre-pandemic time, that the conversations just that weren't happening. Either people just didn't even think of them, or they weren't brave enough to have them, but now they're happening and men are part of them. And I completely appreciate the point of view from the employer that you describe. I think if anyone thinks they've got it perfectly sewn up now, to set a policy and keep it fixed, and rather than a little bit of suck it and see, it has to adapt. You know what, we're not out of this, just as you say. So I think it all makes a lot of sense, and I think it's really heartening to hear, actually. Thank you so much. I wanted to just finish really just with the final question. We've touched on parental leave. I know this is a topic that's close to your heart, and you had quite sort of different experiences both times. Any final thoughts on that? You alluded to the family responsibilities. If we want to improve gender balance in senior positions, obviously a big focus for lots of companies, the role of the father needs to update as well, doesn't it? And I think a lot of that starts from when they first become fathers, and people really report if they have lots of time at home at the beginning, that those responsibilities are much more equally shared in the future. Is that the crux of your experience? What are your thoughts really around parental leave and paternity leave?
Gosh, where do I start? As I alluded to at the start, a topic close to my heart. I think in no particular order, there's been various drives of late. I've forgotten, you know, which politicians it is, but people have been sort of putting forward, you know, private members' bills and so on about this. Because I think whilst the idea of shared parental leave is obviously a wonderful thing, and that's probably the thing that people perhaps focus on most when you talk about men's role and taking the leave that the mothers traditionally did. But obviously it's not perhaps worked in the way that it was intended to do so, given the very low take-up. I think the various changes around making it a day one right and also expanding it to the self-employed would be very positive. I mean, a self-shoot that would have worked for me and my wife in the way that we couldn't have otherwise benefited from it. But I think having a slightly arbitrary date fixed before due date, I can't even remember what it is, because it's such a sort of complicated formula as to whether you're even qualified for it in the first place, makes it difficult for those who perhaps have moved company, you know, around the time of their one's birth. And also I think it excludes many people, including me, who would have wanted to otherwise take it. I think that what's interesting I've seen is that the debate has perhaps moved away a bit from just shared parental leave through to also making it, well, let's have a proper paternity leave policy in place. And actually a move away from the distinction between maternity leave and paternity leave, but actually call it parental leave. And I can't off the top of my head think of the companies, but there have been a few, I think, really good news stories of late in the last probably 6 months or so, where companies have announced across the board parental leave policy that doesn't distinguish between gender. It'd be interesting to see again, in reality, how many men do take that forward. Interestingly, I've just had two conversations locally with fellow dads, one of whom's a city lawyer and one of whom's works at a bank. First one has been on paternity leave, but effectively he had only 1 week because he was just so busy that he only took 1 week, and he had clients calling up and saying, hey, how's the paternity leave? Which is an interesting approach to paternity leave. But I don't know, that's not what he wanted. It's just the way that it happened. And we all know that at the moment, particularly private practice lawyers are very busy. The other one was just starting to take shared parental leave coming up. I think his other one's about 6 months old. And I said, well, that's wonderful. And I said, how does your... It's a bank again, I'm not going to name names, but how do you feel they support you and so on? He said, look, you know, on the surface, it's great. It's all very positive. Under the surface, I'm not so sure. And I felt it was a real shame to hear that these nice shiny policies, whether it's shared parental leave, paternity leave, parental leave, et cetera, being rolled out or being pushed forward. And yet there's perhaps still a belief that when it comes to men taking it, that it's not seen as a done thing. It's not really supported, and it perhaps could therefore be detrimental to progression, which was a real shame to hear. But look, it's a long game, right? And hopefully, and I said to that particular father, look, the more that it's great that you're doing, because the more that people like you do it, hopefully it would just be like a snowball effect and more people will take it. The other thing is, there's one point I really wanted to make, and it's linked to parental leave, but also the role of fathers. And during the pandemic, a lot talked about is it's your role as a father, but also your role in the home. And I believe quite fervently that men actually, we as a gender group have to do more, not just at fathers, but if we're really going to contribute to not just the whole debate about gender equality and career progression for our female partners, but actually contribute to that meaningfully, we have to contribute more meaningfully at home. Because I think what I did see a lot of, you know, great comments and things, whether it's on LinkedIn or otherwise social media over the pandemic, around fathers coming out and saying, look, I've had more time with my children at home, but one was said, you know, I saw my son crawl into the office at 7 o'clock this evening. I would never have seen him before. And I said, well, I thought, well, that's great, but my first thought who's looking after your son for the 2 hours in between that? You know, I don't want to be overly critical. You have to be quite careful how you frame these sorts of discussions, but that is still very important, because that would have meant that whether they had childcare or otherwise, but his partner, male or female, It's not just a heterosexual conversation here. You know, somebody else is looking after little ones. So I do believe that we as men do have to step up even more. And it's not always easy. There's still some cultural stereotype barriers around that. But to really be present as fathers, but also be present within the home and make sure that actually you are taking 50% of the load of house, parental and other admin, if you like, as instead of just spending time with the children. Otherwise, I think the risk is that, again, it can, that horrible phrase, the mother load, right? It still remains the case at times, in many cases. And I think the pandemic almost did highlight that a lot. So whilst men are at home and helping was great, but I still heard a lot of stories around it still predominantly being, you know, falling to the female side of the partnership to pick up literally all of the other pieces at times. So I think, you know, that's an interesting area that men need to really get into as well if we're really going to make things change for the good of everybody.
I think that's a great point to end on, Robin. Thank you so much. I think really brilliant to hear your views on all this. It feels like quite a pivotal moment, but it's not going to change overnight, is it? Thank you so much for talking to me today. I really appreciate it. And thank you to everyone who's been listening to us as well. If you'd like to find out more about City Parents, do visit us at cityparents.co.uk. You can see what's coming up next on our program of webinars or our on-demand content. And you can follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook or Twitter. And you can stay tuned for more from City Parents Talk coming soon. Thank you so much and goodbye.
Thanks, Anna.